Good morning, Facebook. It's Friday. It's 3 o'clock in the UK. It's 10 a.m. on the East Coast. And we welcome you to today's show in 5 days live. And we're talking about charity promotion live. Say hello to Fonz.
Hi. I was just counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep. We're on day five.
We're on day, this is day five of five. And this is our fourth season.
You leave the best to last, I say.
Well, we've done that. We've done that. I mean, we've had quite a week, and everybody who's been co-hosting the shows has been invited to join us during this show, so we should be able to have quite a party.
I believe so. I think we will have.
I'm sure so. Now, last night, I'll tell you a story. Every year for the last 3 years, Sergeant TCS has organised Don't Stream and Drive Day in the UK. Now, it's backed by, because he's a serving policeman, it's backed by all the police services throughout the county, throughout the UK, and by the every driving motoring organisation backs it, and the idea is...
RCA is a record label.
See, this is what we're looking at charts earlier. That's what did that for me. And this year's Don't Stream and Drive Day is on April 16th, which is in a month's time. And normally what happens, have you heard of a service called Thunderclap?
Yes.
I know Thunderclap
Newman too. Thunderclap. I was trying to get it on the screen. Yeah, I've got it on screen. All right. What used to happen in the months before Dirt Stream and Drive Day is that Sergeant TCS used to promote the day itself and speak to loads of people, send millions of tweets out, go live and generally encourage people. And they went to Thunderclap and they signed up to send out a tweet or a Facebook post on a particular day. Yeah. So this year he would have gone along, encouraged everybody to go to Thunderclap, and on the 16th of April at 12 o'clock, tweets would have gone out and it had reached tens of thousands of people and got the message about Don't Stream and Drive. Now, the problem is that in August last year, Twitter changed the rules and Thunderclap doesn't exist anymore. Now, that not only affects Don't Stream and Drive, it affects all charities that actually use the facility to actually get their message out. It affects authors used to use it to promote their new book or their new project or whatever it happened to be. You used to go to Thunderclap, set up a page, and if you got 200 people to sign up, it was free, or otherwise you paid. But it did promote it on Facebook and Twitter. But Twitter pulled the plug by saying you can only send out 100 tweets a minute. Now, when you've got 500 people signed up to your Thunderclap and you try to send 500 at one go, then Thunderclap wouldn't have worked. So they just shut it down. It just disappeared. So can this it, time...
You know, you said it was on Facebook. Couldn't it just have worked on Facebook?
No, it wasn't. Right, so most of the traffic was on Twitter. They sent thousands of tweets and thousands of Facebook posts at a set time. But it was all done via Thunderclap. It was done automatically. And Twitter changed the rules. You can only do 100 tweets in a minute. And that broke it. So they closed down. There was another one which was similar. And that's disappeared as well. So when it comes to Don't Stream and Drive Day this year, which is on April 16th, what are you going to do? Yeah. Because you can't use Thunderclap, you can't get the word out, you can't have the big countdown to the 12 o'clock, you can't have watching all the Twitter reach going up, all the Facebook posts being posted, tracking the hashtag, all that fun's gone. Yeah, because we used to
I've got an idea. I know a few radio stations across the UK, we should go and hijack them and go in there with masks on and go, you will mention it.
That's a good approach.
We might get arrested, but hey.
One way of doing it.
I don't think Sergeant TCS would be too impressed. Actually,
it might be him who arrests us
as a serving police officer. No, he used to be on traffic, so he's got the in-depth knowledge of the law, the traffic law, and that's why he promotes don't stream and drive day, to stop people using the mobile phones whilst they're driving. And we still see people. So the day is to create awareness. Okay.
I tell you what I saw the other day, and I will be honest with you, not like saying don't stream and drive. It makes perfect sense because people say about people talking on phone calls. I watched in Cambridge this woman going along on the road. This is no joke, 100% true. She had a kid in the car seat in the back. Yes, a little child, and she wasn't even holding a steering wheel. She was holding a phone like this, and she had what was going along the road. And you know what I mean?
Incredible.
You know what I mean? Stupidity that, in respect, if she was on her own, she could hit a member of the public, but to have a child in the back as well.
Yeah,
she was obviously updating her Facebook or something, or sending a message of the cheese sandwich that she had at lunchtime. And to her, that's more important than lives, really. So it does make complete sense to me.
It is so incredibly dangerous. I mean, it happens all the time, and not just locally, it happens globally. And I think, you know, what you mentioned just now is a typical scenario: parent in the car, and for some reason they think that sharing their Twitter update or whatever is more important than keeping their eyes peeled on the road. It is such a danger. It just takes a second of being distracted, just 1 second, or sometimes it's even a fraction of a split of a second. Any kind of distracted driving is dangerous. There's no way you can justify it. You know, even if you're using a hands-free device, on your phone, even if you're using a hands-free kit, your mind is distracted. Your eyes may be there, but it means your mind is not 100% on the road, because you're trying to follow that conversation, plus you're trying to do a million other things, you know, be aware of other drivers. It's not possible. And if you think about that, your concentration levels may not be that huge when you're in a telephone conversation. Now imagine the concentration levels when you're trying to stream content to people. Content requires thought. Now think about how you feel when you do a live stream like this in a studio. Okay, it requires energy. No matter how you slice and dice it, it requires energy. So imagine expending that energy while you are driving.
Yeah. There is a few videos on YouTube. Now, these are on viewer discretion. You know what I mean? Some of them are quite things. So if they do go looking up, it's viewer discretion. Actually, people streaming live, because I've watched a few, going along, showing off in the car and all that. And during the live stream, they've had a crash.
Yeah,
and put them up on YouTube, and it's not because they're showing. It's they've been put up to show people. They've been put up by organisations to show people the effect and caused by what you're doing, and it's terrible. Yeah. So it is. People just don't realise.
Right, I just want you to. It's a hashtag that Ladies Go Live have posted. I just want you to read the hashtag and see if you see. Do you see what I see? If you want to read it in your mind, and then I know it should say,
go live and drive.
It should say don't live and drive. But what it actually says is don't live and drive. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Just me. All right. And Kelly is saying, it's a global problem.
Is that you on your cup? Is that you on the cup?
Me. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
That's cool.
Brilliant.
She's got her own merchandise. Who's the own merch? I ain't got no merch.
You should have t-shirts. Cambridge Historian t-shirts, aren't they?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but yeah, they're sold only Mad 50. They sold out and come too costly. That's right. This is the only merch I've got other people's.
Right, so Don't Stream and Drive is on April 16th in the UK, and we know that Mitch Jackson has his show. We've been doing this for 4 years in the UK. John Upton and I host, and we've hosted on Blab, we've hosted on Smile Time, we've also hosted on Be Live, and this is our second year on Be Live hosting. And but the problem is, how are you going to get the message out now, apart from knocking on radio station doors and forcing your way in? And
you weren't knocking, it was just forcing your way in and hijacking them.
Yeah, and Kelly's saying even some people do it for charity, and he doesn't understand. And Sarah's saying don't stream and drive. And yeah, okay, we were in the UK. We were there 4 years ago. Anyway, that's by the by. We're both doing a good thing. But what we can't do is use a thunderclap to actually send out at 12 p.m., have the countdown before and watching the reach afterwards. All that fun's gone. So what do you do? And that's where, this is why I created the page last night, Charity Promotion Live. One, because of the show that we're doing together, and we'll talk about the next one in a minute. The other thing is that I've worked out a solution. So I want to run it by you to make sure that it makes sense. Okay, so this is a solution to the problem of not being able to use Thunderclap. You can't get a system to actually promote content to Twitter and Facebook at the same time, which is automated. Yeah. Right. So what you do is this, right? Is that you invite your supporters of your cause to join you on Facebook Messenger. Okay, so you do live shows saying, message me on my page, or you check the bot and you'll go to my page. And basically, you're bringing people into your Facebook Messenger. Your business page, Facebook Messenger, is going to be visited by people who actually watch your live broadcast, watch your adverts, watch any promotion that you do on your page. So the aim is to actually get, by the target date you've set yourself, by the actual celebration date, is you've got 400 or 500 people on Messenger. Yeah. Okay. And you ask them a straightforward question. Would they like to help you on promotion day? Okay. So in other words, you've got to sign up for this. Right. They say, yes, we'd love to help you. And you then send out a broadcast on promotion day, which goes to 500 people. And they all get links to a tweet, a Facebook post to share, a LinkedIn post to share, an image on Pinterest to share. In other words, they can do whatever they want, and they're actually all doing it manually. Yeah, so there's no automation. This is people actually doing it manually. So it's a combination of promotion, Facebook Messenger, and Messenger bots. And I think that might just work.
I know what to call that. You call that crowdsourced marketing.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
I thought you was going to say send them a message on Messenger so they can all join us and raid radio stations. But no, I like you.
Well, the thing is that you could actually send out a broadcasting request to 5,000 people for free. Yeah. Mm. So in terms of cost, and this is where I came back to what we're doing, is that we can actually teach people how to do it for themselves so that they can do a charity promotion live by setting a date and saying, right, okay, we want you to send this message out to create awareness of our project on this day, around this time, and all you need to do is join our messenger, and then you get instructions on the day and you just follow those instructions. So it's available to every charity,
yeah,
every author.
it's a definitely good way around it. And it's, like you said, it's individuals promoting it as well. So it's everybody doing their thing as well, which is good in that respect.
Rosetti's thinking.
She's liking the radio station idea.
They're both good ideas, but the one more fail-safe than the other one. I mean, you know, I'm less likely to get clobbered over the head using Stephen's method.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's legal on every site. And the thing is that Thunderclap only went to Facebook and Twitter. With this system, you could go to any social media site and say, okay, either pick one of these tweets, pick one of these Facebook posts, or create your own, but on the day, just do this. So we could take any of the charities we mentioned on the show in February and say to them, right, okay, would you like to have your own day? And they say yes, okay, and we can take it from there. So on the particular day, their charity could, we're helping promote them by doing it on the live show, the 4-hour live show. But that's passive. If we get people involved and encourage them to actually join in, then it could actually be the start of something big.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking from a charity point of view, and just between the three of us, because we're okay. From a charity point of view, it can be done for free. Yeah. But if you're a commercial venture, if you're an author wanting to publish a book, or a Udemy instructor want to promote a course, then it could be a paid service.
Yeah.
Okay. Hence, Charity Promotion Live does have a commercial future potentially. So what we're going to do is, because you're the first people to hear of this, is I'm going to mention it to Sergeant TCS over the weekend. And the downstream and drive day will be the test bed to make sure, see if it works. So we can see how it goes. And hopefully by April 17th, we'll know that it works. And then we can start talking about it.
Yeah? Good. Are you going to suggest
Sounds
my
good
radio?
To me.
You're going to suggest my radio idea to him as well and ask him which one he prefers.
Okay, let's go through it. You can promote this on Twitter. You can promote this on Facebook, Instagram. Pinterest, or you can flash mob your local radio station.
Because Fon said you could do it.
You can put your name to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the Fons said you could do it.
Ah, right.
He didn't really. I'll have Henry Winkler knocking at my door then. Why have I got these people complaining again?
Right, okay. Now,
it sounds like a brilliant idea, all of it.
Thank you. No, it does. Right. It seems it makes complete sense to me.
Well, I'm going to work on the prototype, and as I say, try it on Don't Stream and Drive. And I know it's one of those things where you know it's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can sense it's going to work. You can sense it's going to be useful to a lot of people.
You can see its potential and what
exactly could exactly come with it, so. Yeah. So, good. Right. Okay. I'm glad I've not lost the plot, as it were.
That's my job. Yeah. That's my job.
Right. And Ladies Go Live are saying, just going back to Dirt Stream and Drive, which we never left, really, maybe Facebook and Be Live should institute a policy of no live whilst drive. Now, there's an idea.
I think that's if you make it known publicly that you don't endorse driving and streaming, you know, so kind of say, well, as a platform or as a service, we don't promote live streaming and driving at the same time. I think that's a good promotion.
I think so too. I think it shows that, okay, we're here for you to stream, but we don't approve of it when you're not following the rules and doing things you shouldn't be. We're happy when you're doing the good stuff, but not so happy when you're doing the bad stuff.
Yeah.
That could be a good promo. We're happy when you're doing the good stuff, but not so happy when you're doing the bad stuff.
Do good stuff. Joel Com has made a living out of that hashtag.
Yes, he has.
Right, okay. So, I mean, technically, it would be possible to actually know when somebody was on the move. Yeah? I mean, if you're in a car and the car's doing, obviously, 30 mile an hour in town, and they could access the GPS, so they know how fast you were going, and if you're going to push above walking speed, they could actually sort of stop the broadcast your access to the broadcast. But that's personal.
But the problem with that, I totally get what you're saying. I don't think in a car anybody who's even moving in a traffic jam should be streaming, even if it's crawling along, because you could smack the car in front, stop suddenly, hit somebody who's walking across the road. But the problem with that is if you're on the bus or train and streaming, then it comes
I knew there'd be a flaw in this. You've got it straight away. Right. So we
very smart funds, very smart.
They could actually just put a warning just coming up and saying don't stream and drive.
There's an app. We've got an app locally called Waze. I don't know if you have Waze there.
It's an app,
a navigation app. So when you open up Waze, it will sense that you're in motion, and it will say to you, something like, you're driving, and then you've got the option to click I'm a passenger. So I guess that would kind of circumvent your suggestion there about being in a train or being on a bus and you're in motion, but it kind of just gives you that second wall of protection, make you aware, hey, stop,
the thing is, people may say they're a passenger when they're a driver. A good thing to do is probably put a warning up, like you were saying, a warning up on the screen saying, warning, you're in motion. If you're a driver or you're piloting the vehicle, then you are putting yourself and other people's lives at risk. Cease the broadcast, or this could lead to prosecution, and put that across the top. So it's going across the top. And then it gives them the option to either still be silly and have to, look at probably prosecution or do the right thing and close down the broadcast. And I think that's probably the best approach, because even if it's like you're saying, the passenger idea, I can imagine somebody who's driving is going to click that they're a passenger just to get around it. There's all these crafty ways that people can get around it. And I think if you just give them a warning and make it clear to them, then they've been told, they've been informed, and it's their own decisions then.
Yeah.
And the outcome is through their own choices.
I agree.
Now, Sarah's come up with a novel idea there. Sarah says, include a report button that allows the audience to ask it to be closed down. Now that's a novel idea.
That's a good idea. Similar to
Periscope, where you can report the broadcast.
That's a
useful one.
Definitely. That's a brilliant idea, because if you're seeing it yourself and you know it is, then you press a button and it's instantly the other end checked by some way, however they do it, and it can be shut down and stopped.
You could put a simple rule and say if 10 people report it.
You literally have to just wait for, for one thing to go wrong. Or do you really have to wait for someone to die because someone was live streaming? Do we want to get to that point, or do we rather just want to do the right thing and not stream and drive? Why should we wait until someone pays with their life before we understand that it's dangerous to do any kind of distracted driving?
Yeah. I
think some people, you get these lots of trends on that's going about. One I noticed the other day was parents, for some reason, are throwing cheese slices for the babies and slapping them in the face with cheese slices. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's ridiculous. It's just not really news, not something. By putting it out there, they're making it bigger and what it is. And there is these other trends about how they promote people, like, do this while you're driving, do that. And I've seen stuff like that as well. This person's done this, and then it inspires it for more people to do it because they think it's cool and they think it's the in thing as well. And a lot of this has come back on that. And not just the other thing I was going to say, not just people, say they're streaming and they're driving, and that if they don't have an accident, they're only involved in it themselves, and they're only basically they only kill themselves by doing it. It's okay, so a lot of people say, well, they deserve it because of the accident, but then at the end of the day, people that are suffering are the family members by their own stupidity. A mother's lost a child, a father's lost a child, sister's lost a brother or sister, you know what I mean, brother's lost, you know what I mean? So even if it's only them themselves that's, you know what I mean, killed in the accident, there's still ripples of how it's going to affect their own family and friends.
The thing is, you know, we don't, just going back onto my thought a minute ago, we know that distracted driving kills. We know that distracted driving is dangerous. So do we really need to wait until someone becomes a statistic whilst live streaming and driving? We don't really. We already have enough facts to prove that distracted driving kills. So I think, you know, we need to just encourage one another to do the right thing, period, you know, without any kind of exception. There's no particular reason. I think one of the things probably that got round to promoting this live stream and driving thing, there was this program on YouTube that became very famous, I think it was, you know, driving and with music or something like that. They drive around, I forgot what the name of the program is, but it's, they drive around with kind of, with famous people. And I think that probably is what got people onto the path of thinking that it's okay to live stream and drive at the same time.
Yeah, that's like the late, is it that James, is it James Corden does the late show? He does a thing where he picks up a celebrity, drives around, and they're all singing in the car. Is that, I don't know if that's what you mean.
Yeah, and that's all, the one.
And that's exactly what I was trying to say, that they, people see this is if he's doing it, it's cool to do it, and then they're copying it, and they want to, instead of just recording it where he's had it done perfectly, he's got a professional production cream team around him. Not everything you're seeing is exactly how it is, basically, you know what I mean? There's things happening behind the scenes, so what you're seeing is not the exact way you're seeing it. You think you're watching him drive along the road, sing along with this celebrity.
Yeah.
If you look deeper into it, that's not the case at all, probably, you'll find. There's been precautions made. Now, some people will watch that and think, actually, well, he can do it. I want to do the same, but I want to live stream it on Facebook so all my mates can see it. So there should be warnings for things like that. That actually, okay, he's doing this, but it's for entertainment purposes only, and safety precautions X, Y, Z are took because of those reasons, and do not copy it at home.
Right, just catching up with the comments, and carpool karaoke is Sarah's explanation.
That's it.
That's what it's called.
That's exactly it.
And but they're not actually driving; it may be on the back of a truck.
Exactly. But not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows would know that. It's like a lot. Yeah. When you watch programs like the old comedies. Now, some of them were done in studio against green screen, and a lot of them were done on the back of a truck. They would just be on the back of a truck pretending they're driving. And it's
right.
But it's to make you think that it's real, but not everybody understands that.
And now the technology's caught up and we can do the backdrop thing ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. We're good. Now, just catching up on comments, I just want to go back a little way. To something that Tina said earlier, and Tina corrected me because I said wave when it's actually Waze, and Tina loves Waze, not wave. And I think we're up to date on comments now. All good. Right, if you are watching and you have in your possession a link to join us on camera, then please do so. The invite went out to everybody who's co-hosted the shows this week. It'd be great to have you on board today. And if you are in the audience but you don't have a link, just say link and I'll post the link. We've not got any bots running today, so this is a charity show. It's unencumbered by bots. It's just the three of us. And I just want to go back a moment to something that I did have on the agenda. I've got an agenda today. Right. We did the February show, and we've got a March show to do, Brigetti. Do you have your calendar to hand so we can set a date?
Well, yes.
Okay.
I do.
Right. Do you want to check if March 26th is okay? And I'll bring you back on camera when you can do it live. Women can multitask, Fons.
I can multitask. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at my calendar right now as we speak. So March 26th is a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're four. So I do have a show on a Tuesday, which is 5:30 PM GMT plus 2, which is 3:30 UK.
Right. Okay. Well, we can hold the fort then, because it's a rolling 4 hours.
We'll do something similar that we did last time, and that can work. Yes.
I'm glad that worked. The next charity show is on March 26th.
You had it ready in the background, didn't you?
I only started typing it when Brigetti was answering. So basically, on March 26th, now this is going to be confusing, and the next 3 weeks are going to be confusing. The simple reason that on Sunday, the clocks are changed in America.
We're going back to that again.
We're going back to that again. March 10th, the clocks change, and there is only a 4-hour time difference or a 6-hour time difference, depending on which way you're looking at it. So the clocks don't change in the UK until the 31st of March, unless the lights go out on the 29th of March, but that's a UK joke. Something might happen on the 29th of March, who knows? So we've got a 3-week period when I'm going to be confused permanently for 3 weeks. So I'm going to make it so that David sets up the show on Monday, and whatever time he sets, that's the time that I use from then on. So if he sets it, it's the only way to do it. I mean, I have in the past, I've actually set up a show an hour early. Yeah. And turned up an hour late, if you know what I mean. So it's very
confusing.
It's funny when he asks me on his show, he tells me the time there. I remember once, this is the early days, I sat there waiting for him. He goes, well, no, you've got another so many hours before it's on. And I said, well, I thought you meant my time. He goes, I don't know anything about time difference. You're asking the wrong man.
Okay, so official announcement then. The next charity show is on the 26th of March. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have just over 2 weeks to tell us about the charity that you support. And what we actually need, as last time, is your potted version of the bio of the charity and a link to the page. And if you can send us that before the 26th, we can research it and we'll promote awareness of the charity on the show on the 26th of March. And we just had, I mean, the last show was just totally amazing.
Yeah. The other thing is as well, probably if people are part of a charity organization and they wish to come on and talk about their charity,
yeah,
more than welcome to do that as well.
So that's people good. They wonder, you know, what are the benefits of using live streaming for your charity? Because, you know, many charities may not yet be using live streaming. And so perhaps we could talk about what are the benefits in using live streaming for the charity. So basically you can, you know, in the same way as you can 10X yourself, you can 10X your, what I mean by 10X is amplify yourself, your cause, your business. You can 10X your charity. You can 10X your nonprofit. It means that you're coming out of the shadows and you're basically sharing your charity in a creative and authentic manner, not just to your local environment, but you can now do this on a worldwide scale. So instead of just being known locally, you can now up-level your charity to become known as a global institution. And that means that not only do you now create awareness for your charity globally, but it also means that you're opening yourself up to donors globally. And so in the same manner as you could now bring attention to your cause or something that you're passionate about, and you do need to bring passion into it, because if you're live streaming and you don't feel passionate about your cause and you don't come across as passionate, you may seem inauthentic. And people are drawn to authenticity. People are drawn to passion, because you're going to scoop in all the people that also feel similar about your cause. But in the same way that you can then up-level your message about your cause or your charity globally, when you use live streaming for your charity, you also get to open up yourself to donors and sharing what they do globally. Because now you can also amplify the message of your donors on a global scale. And in that way, you possibly open yourself up to getting more donors. So that's one way in which you can use live streaming for your charity to your benefit as a nonprofit.
And that's where we come in to help you do that and help promote awareness of your charity. And we're going to obviously be doing the live shows, which we invite you to join us on, and we'll give you every assistance to actually get on camera. You can come in either with your desktop, your PC, or your Mac, or your mobile phone, and we'll do a test beforehand and make sure that everything's working. You come in, when you join us, you're amongst friends, and yeah, we're just coming into our parlor, into our sitting room, and joining us and having a chat, and just ignore everybody else. And you'll be able to get your story across, and we'll help you to tell it as well. Yep. And, you know, because we've been invited back to the Bloody Cancer Charity. You were invited back, and I'm tagging in. But
yeah, no, I think that was sort of like with Andrew, because he's terminal. The way he explained it all and came on, of course, as well as Emma from Fight Bladder Cancer, showed their approach that they came across with, shows how it's possible to promote your charity through live broadcasting. And it did get a lot of interest worldwide, and I'm still getting contacts about it now. So people have seen it on replay or other means, bootleg DVDs and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's it. The show we did in February is still getting views.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that. Okay, Brigitte, all yours.
So, what we were doing last time and what we envisage doing in the future again is through live streaming, you tell stories. People love stories, people are drawn to stories, and you will attract people to support your cause. You will attract donors who relate to your stories. And that's what makes live streaming so powerful. People love stories. People love hearing your backstory. And so if you've got a story to tell, then come onto the show with us and tell your story so we can help you amplify your cause or your charity. So reach out to one of us, make a comment down below in this live stream, or reach out to us on our new charity page. We'll put the link down in the commentary as well. So if there's a cause that you're passionate about, that you'd like to get amplified, then do reach out to us. Just make a comment down below, and we'll get back to you on that.
The thing is as well, mainstream media doesn't really cover these areas, not so much anymore. About in the 80s, I remember they used to have programs about true life stories and people, but it doesn't seem the in thing at the minute. It's more reality programming and stuff these days, going for a thing of reality programs, people stuck on desert islands or people locked in a building for 5 days. So these kind of things don't really get covered anymore. So this is filling that void, I think, and giving true life stories and like charities a chance to talk. Also, people who've been supported or probably been through something, or had a family member go through something, and to tell their story as well about how this organization helped them. It's basically, it's a bit like one of those magazines, isn't it? You get in a doctor's surgery where they tell you a true life story, but hey, life and there as it happens.
That's true. That's true. There's a magic about live video in that you can reach out to people whilst you're live and on the recording. You can get your message across. We're there to help you do it. And it is possibly daunting at the beginning, but once you get going, you feel at ease and you can look at the camera and you can talk about your charity. And you're actually talking about something you're passionate about. You're answering questions which you know the answers to.
Yeah.
And it's your opportunity. Yep.
Okay, no, I keep up, but I didn't carry on.
I was solo on screen then. I was in full flow.
Go on, and carry on.
He's gone then. He's gone. I don't do it very often. Over to you, Fons.
Yeah, no. Apart from me being rude there and butting in, I forgot now what I was going to say. About going live. I've been live on radio. We've all been live doing this, but a lot of people say, oh, I can't do it because it's so nerve-wracking and all that. But I think even now, I don't know if you guys are the same, both of you are the same, even now you still get that nerve thing, don't you, about when you first come on.
Indeed, so, that's it.
And it soon goes. It soon goes. You start getting a buzz from it. So.
Totally. Hello, Tina.
Hello, everyone. Tina. How are you?
Good. Lovely to have you join us.
So I wanted to touch upon, you guys have hit on such great points, and I've used live in a lot of the charitable work I do, which is mostly animal oriented. My one people thing I do is regarding mental health awareness, and from going on and broadcasting about the importance of mental health awareness by opening that discussion, I've made new connections. I've made relationships with people I didn't even know were also interested in. I've shared information, possibly even saved lives. So that's the kind of reach and the type of impact you can create when you go live about your charitable organization, your event, etc. You can really create some major impact because you're speaking from the heart, you're reaching out with information and content, and that can go a long, long way.
I agree. You know, I once opened up about myself suffering from depression, and I was amazed at the comments I got back from people saying, like, you know, wow, thank you for sharing. And it opened up a whole new conversation, you know, because, you know, I mean, mental health is not something that you wear on your forehead and say, oh, I have a mental health issue. Who does that? So mental health doesn't have a face. And therefore, it's important to talk about it. And very often when you open up the conversation, people kind of go, wow, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And it leads to more and more conversations. And the more we have the conversation, it becomes less of a stigma attached to it. I've heard many stories of people in C-level positions, for example, who have to or feel that they have to keep mum about their mental illness, because of the stigma attached to it. They feel that they'll be judged, they'll be treated less than, they'll be seen as unprofessional. But if we can take off the mask and say, but hey, you know, I also have a mental health issue, it makes it less of a taboo topic, because it doesn't mean that you cannot perform in the boardroom, or doesn't mean that you're not a good entrepreneur. It doesn't mean that you're not a good mom, a good dad, or good parent, or whatever. So we need to remove that mask from mental health and say, we all deal with stuff throughout our life. It's normal. It's okay. It doesn't make me different.
It's gone quiet. That's a rare event.
I was waiting for somebody else to speak, so I didn't butt in on them again.
Sorry. It's okay, Fons. Go. You're okay.
No. Yeah, what I was going to say was, years ago, I haven't got the actual one with me, but I've got a follow-up to it, because I felt embarrassing about my mental health and stuff. But I got my little scrapbook there, and there's one of the articles about me talking about mental health. And I opened up about it in the local press, and they actually had people thinking, was embarrassed about it. Actually, people saying thanks for opening up, like even standing in the co-op, local cup, saw your article, thanks for opening up. It's made me realize that I need to do this, and you've thanks for you doing that. I've gone and seen somebody about it. So I think you're right. If you hide away from it, it's got that kind of thing connected to it, like that, like you're saying, mask cover to it. And especially with men, for me it was like, I'm a man, and it's sort of like you're not going to admit that you got mental illness, that you get upset about stuff, because you think people are gonna laugh at you and take the mickey out of you. Should be a man, you should be the head of the family and all this, cause from the past, what people have thought of the past, and what you must be like a weak person and stuff. But thought, no, I'm gonna do this, and that's what I did, and it went on to help other people. So yeah, you should never try and hide away from it, and by opening up to it can also help other people also suffering from it.
And even if it's something rare, you know, don't shy away from sharing, because like everything else, even if something is rare, there's going to be other people that's going to truly appreciate the fact that you shared it, because they may know somebody else that's dealing with this rare issue that you've got. And you never know what kind of inspiration you could be, you know, be the inspiration. is a great thing. Don't wait for someone else. Be the inspiration. No,
definitely. Because that's what I felt. I felt like down about it all. But actually, if you get out there and you have somebody, you can imagine how that sort of also boosted me a bit more, thinking, hey, I've been through this, somebody else has gone through it, and I've helped them. And so by helping others, you're actually helping yourself as well.
Correct. You absolutely are helping other people when you speak out, because you're helping other people feel normal. And how amazing is that, to have the opportunity to do that?
Exactly, yeah. Because a lot, like I did, there's something wrong with me. This isn't normal. I'm not right. You do feel like that. And then you, like I was saying, if you're a man, you think, oh, people are going to see me as weak and all that, and look down on me and basically ridicule me for it. But actually, by doing what I did, didn't do that. It did the complete opposite and actually showed people that, yeah, you can be in this state and you can go through these things, and it's not because you're weak. It's not because you're weak or not strong. It's because I think one person said to me, and I said to him, like, I was scared to do it because I felt people were weak and all that. He goes, no, you don't realize how strong you are to go through what you went through and all that. You're far from being a weak person. So it's,
you know, the other thing that is not touched on often as well is the fact that mental illness does not only affect adults. I think more so than ever, mental health issues affect children. And
I think more so now, especially with social networking. Now, social media and all that's brilliant if it's used for the right reasons like this. But with young people, it can be a bigger platform to create bullying and things. And I think what you find with young people, a lot of the depression issues that they go through are caused by bullying online, and it's opened the door for bullying for a bigger level.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, it's an important topic to talk about when it comes to mental health issues for children. You know, we've already had enough instances where young children have actually committed suicide online and streamed it. Yeah. We need to bring this out in the open. We need to make sure children feel supported and that they are supported. You know, I'm very big on this, and people love to share unsavory videos, you know, where children do silly things. That practice really needs to stop. We need to make children feel supported. When we see someone being bullied online, you know, what is your policy? Do you just hit the share button irrespective of how that's going to affect anyone else? You know, or do you do the right thing?
You get that a lot. You get it come up on your wall. Like, you've got people sharing, people being beaten up, and people in the comments saying, actually finding it funny and stuff. Mm. But they, like you're saying, they don't know how the individual involved feels and what the repercussions of it are. It may look funny, but it's not funny for the person. And problem with that being those kind of things being shared, it could lead to tragic consequences, really.
And absolutely, one's got to be very careful.
That's where we have sort of a group responsibility. If we do see anything which we feel shouldn't be there, we can just press one button. Yeah. And the more people that press the button, and the more Facebook notices it and take action.
That's what people should be doing. Instead of sharing stuff like that and making it wider platform for more people to see it, they should be doing the right thing. And, okay, I'm not going to share this. I'm going to report it so it gets took down, because that poor individual involved, I can't imagine what they were going through. They should be thinking, how would I feel if I was that person?
Yeah.
That's what they should be thinking, not finding it actually quite funny. I want to show all their friends it, who then may also feel the same as them and share it with their friends. They should be responsible and deal with it accordingly.
And one of the things about going live and broadcasting live, you do have potential to reach thousands of people, and every broadcast you do, you're actually going to meet somebody new to actually send out your message to. And we've messaged by Fork Center for Counseling. I say thank you, Tina and panel, for addressing mental health awareness. Together we can end the stigma. And also thank you for sharing that post as well. And Gospel is saying we all have a mental health. Mental health doesn't have to be all negative. Okay. And talking about your struggles helps you heal the mental illness you have.
It does. I went through counselling, and I found one of the things was to chat about the problems and, like, explain it. And you walk away there. I did walk away feeling, you know, I mean, like a weight lifted off my shoulder. Of course, it was only a temporary fix back then, but it does take that pressure off you for a while. But a lot of people like me, I couldn't talk to my family about it. I felt embarrassed and felt ashamed and thought that they would see me as a weak person within the family, which I was completely wrong about, because when they did find out, it was completely different. So you should never feel like that.
No, you're 100% right. You know, we all feel that way. And speaking of that, many of you who may wonder, should you live stream about your charity? Shouldn't you live stream? You know, what will people think? You'd be surprised that people will be very, very supportive. You know, never allow that to be a reason why you hold back from live streaming about your charity or your nonprofit. People love live video, and people will pay attention to your stories. Just get started. It is an amazing platform. There are enough statistics around to show the efficacy of live video. So if you want to know more, please reach out to us in the comments. We'd be happy to answer your questions. And I think I also, you know, since we're talking about charities in particular, I do want to give a shout out to Chris Strub. Mm-hmm. Chris Strub has been doing some amazing work in the nonprofit space. In fact, Chris has actually done a manual. He's put together an entire manual on live streaming for nonprofits. He's done a lot of work in this space. He's known worldwide for his live streaming about nonprofits and for nonprofits. So if you are a nonprofit and you're looking for a formal guide as to how you can engage in live streaming, go and look up Chris Strub and connect with him. He's always open to making new connections. And you, as I said, you can get that guide from him. I'm not sure how it costs. There is a fee because, you know, it's taken him many, many years of experience and references and research and work to document exactly how you can use live streaming to your benefit as a nonprofit.
We have a comment from Gospel. It's a big topic I'm passionate about. As mental health first aider, there are many people suffering in silence because of the stigma. Thank God people are becoming more enlightened.
Yep. And of course, like mainstream media doesn't always give the right approach to it. This is the chance for us, the people, and all the people viewing, to show an inside view of it and actually really promote it for what it is, as well as other charities as well, the inside story of what's going on and how people can help and how their help is helping other people as well.
Indeed. And Tina, I want to thank Tina for joining us on camera. I had no idea about the South African water crisis before you shared it, Rigetti. Something we take for granted.
Water. And I do want to mention, I do want to mention, thanks for raising that, Tina. Much appreciated. 22nd of March is World Water Day. That is a huge thing. So even though you may open up your faucet and you may take water for granted, there are millions of people worldwide who do not have access to water. It's heartbreaking when you think of the amount of women that has to walk miles and miles and miles each day to go and collect water. And it's not clean drinking water, but that's all they can get. So 22nd of March is World Water Day. And Stephen, I can't believe it. We're just about out of time. We've got 2 minutes to go. I cannot believe this hour has gone by so quickly. Wow.
Let's do this in this order. I'll go first, then Fons, then yourself, Rigetti. To everybody who's joined us, I'm going full screen, Fons. To everybody who's joined us today.
I should get this little warning, shouldn't I?
I'd like to give my personal thank you. What we're doing over the coming months wouldn't happen without your support, and we are totally grateful for it. If we can help you in any way promote your cause or charity, all you have to do is message us. Our next charity show is on Tuesday, the 26th of March. Let's just find the date. And we look forward to seeing you there. Gospel, if you want to join us on camera, then you're more than welcome to do so. And to everybody who's watched, I'm going to now hand over to Fons for his thoughts on the day.
Okay. Yeah. I'm here, am I?
Yeah. You're live.
Yeah. No, just like thanks for everybody who's viewed and watched us. And of course, the charity thing, it really is a open door for charities and people, and of course like non-profit organizations, to get their word out basically about what they're doing and how people can get involved. And hopefully I'm hoping as time goes by to actually see people involved with the charities as word spreads about this, to come on to talk about their charities, and also it'd be good to hear people's stories connected to that. So it might be somebody who used to volunteer for and be a part of them telling their story, or it might be if it's something where got a long backstory, that they share their backstory and show how this charity changed their life. So hope, looking forward to all that. And then it's given a bigger message to people out there. And of course, once it's gone live, it's there forever. Being recorded on Facebook for people to watch back. And like we know, like the past one, people are still watching that.
Yeah.
So it's there for everybody to see, and hopefully more awareness of it, because that's the main key. It's not so much about raising money for charities, although that's nice, but it's about awareness of it all. So,
that's me. Presetti.
Well, today was the wrap-up of a fantastic week of 5 days live. And every single day we focused on a particular aspect of live streaming and how you could up-level your live streaming skills. It's been an awesome week. I want to thank every single person who's been involved in the production of 5 days live. A special thank you to Stephen for producing in the wings. If you've never produced a live stream yourself, it is a lot of work. It takes a lot of time, effort, and dedication. So a huge shout out and thank you to Stephen Healy for producing for the entire week. And today's wrap up with the charity is another highlight for the end of the week. We want to focus on how we can help charities to amplify their message. If you've got a charity, if you've got a cause that you feel passionate about, please drop us a link and a comment below and we'll reach out to you. And as Stephen has, as we've advertised earlier or announced on the show, it'll be 26th of March. And last but not least, the platform that we're using to do 5 days live and that we use for the charity broadcast is called BeLive TV. It's an amazing platform that allows you to amplify your message with amazing ways of showing pictures on screen, sharing videos. You can show the audience comments on screen, so the engagement with the platform is amazing. So if you want to know more about BeLive TV, then also please ask us in the comments and we'll get back to you on that. So with that, I want to say thank you very much to everyone. Thanks, Fon. Thanks, Stephen, for today. It was awesome. And have a great weekend, everyone. So from me, Bridgette and Ben in Cape Town, I'm going to say goodbye for now.
Bye.